Today on Real Radio.
In verse 17 and 18, we learn this, that this man's problem is that he was self-wise. He was self-wise in his own opinion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable that's found only in Luke's gospel. It's the parable of the rich fool. It was told by Jesus when he was asked to step in and help settle a financial dispute. Now, this parable is chock full of wisdom, addressing how we are to have a more eternal perspective when handling what God has given to us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in a mini-series called The Parable of the Rich Fool.
The gods that pagans believe in, they're man-made gods. That's what's fun about the God of the Bible. He's not man-made. And when we're often when we're talking with others who don't believe in God, they might believe that everything's an accident, everything evolved. When you let them talk long enough, inevitably they are going to get to this. They think it's an absolutely brilliant question they're going to ask you. And I want to. If you haven't heard it, I want to give it to you first. Then they're going to eventually think, "Okay, man, this is going to knock this Christian off their feet. Here it comes." Well, who made your God? That's a big deal to them. Because our argument is, see, we'll talk to them and we'll say, look around, everything has a designer. Everything shows fingerprints of design, of purpose, of plan, of thought, of idea. And in their little moment of inspiration, they'll say, okay then, taking your logic, who made your God? Well, this is the beautiful thing about being a Christian. The God of the Bible is not a created God. He's never been created. He's always been. He's spirit. That ought to freak you out for a while. He's spirit. He made the physical existence of things, the Bible says. He says, I made those things, he says, from things that you can't see. And the things that you and I can't see, the atoms floating around here, bouncing around, going every which way, he said, I made those things that you can't see. You keep peeling back the onion. I made those things with my word, logos, my design. See, as Christians, we do not worship a created God. It's very exciting. And I wanted to throw this in just to shake things up tonight. Did you know that environmentalism is pagan worship? Did you know that? I'm not talking about taking care of the environment. I believe, by the way, just for the record, the Christian should be the best custodian of the planet. Why? Because our God made it. But do we worship it? No. We're supposed to use it to the advancement of mankind. God said to do that. He said have dominion over it. And use it for bettering your life. Environmentalism is the worship of the creation. We don't need to go to the book of Romans chapter 1, but read it later. God answers them. God answers those who worship nature. And environmentalism is a religion, a pagan religion, because it assumes, by the way, that humans, even to the point of the death of humans, must sacrifice themselves to preserve nature. And that's paganism. The next thing is economic paganism. You ever thought about that? The worship of materialism and wealth. That's paganism. There's a sense this day, or in this age that you and I live in, that from what I've been gathering and watching over the years and the fruit thereof, or the lack of the fruit there, the lack of effectiveness, these buzzwords and trends that pop up, social justice. There's a handful of people who invented this social justice argument from ancient writers of old and have made millions, if not billions, of dollars off of the world. and nothing's changed. They'll create an argument, they'll host a big conference, they'll write a book, they get paid $50,000 an hour to speak at events, literally. They're managed, $50,000. And their platform is social justice. If you really believed in that message, why don't you give that movement $50,000 an hour and get some work done? If you just follow the fruit of things. You guys, just this, did you see the news a week and a half ago that the founder of, was it the Sierra Club or Greenpeace? Greenpeace, the founder of Greenpeace. Has anyone ever heard of Greenpeace? Raise your hand. And the argument of the global warming issue and all this stuff, the founder came out and said, we built the whole thing on a falsehood. It was a lie. Did you see that in the news, anybody? Did anybody see it in the news? Look, that's my point. Raise your hand if you saw the interview with that founder of Greenpeace. Look at us. How many of us? There's 10 hands? If I were to ask you, oh, you know, do you believe in this? And do you believe in this is what's happening? And this, and then do you believe? All the hands will go up, especially the young people. They've been indoctrinated in schools. Oh, absolutely. And then, listen, one of the key originators of it said, it was a farce. The data from the British laboratories that was doctored up because of global warming not happening. So they fudged numbers. Go back from the Rocky Mountains all the way to the East Coast right now and ask people for the last 6 months if global warming's been happening. It's been the coldest winter, I think they said, in 60 years. My point is this. Watch out. This man had all these blessings, and including ground that yielded bountifully, and he missed it. The third thing in verse 16 is that he failed to think of goodness. Of goodness. That ground yielded and blessed him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, listen to this. Romans 2, 4 says, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The goodness of God leads a man to repentance, to change his mind. Isn't that neat? Isn't that sweet? Think about it. Oh, God just wants to beat me up. He doesn't say that anywhere. It says right here in Romans 2, 4, he wants your eyes to be open. He wants you to understand his goodness in your life. You got to pick now. You're going to have to choose that. We all have badness in our lives. Pain, hurt, sorrow, whatever. I don't know. As a human, we need to focus on everything, not just one thing. If you focus on all the bad, you'll never see any goodness. God says, I show you goodness. Isn't it amazing? God says, look around at the good things I've done in your life. Find them, because that's been me reaching out to you. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Goodness. You got to nurture that in your life. Psalm 103, verse 2, nurture that. Make that verse part of your life. I'm dead serious about this. Memorize that verse. Watch what his truth begins to do to your heart. Especially if you're known to gripe about things. If you're a grumbler, don't raise your hand. If you're a grumbler, I don't like that one. It's too bright. It's too dark. It's too loud. That's too soft. You know the Goldilocks syndrome? Memorize that verse. You know why? Because God's word in you, literally, this is no joke. God's word in you begins to affect your thinking, how you hear things, how you see things. For real, I'm not joking, for real. You take the word of God in your life and you start to memorize it, it affects how you see things. And it affects how you process things that are going on around you. We have a pastor here on staff. He has an amazing heart. Many of you know, hospital bed. If you're sick, Pastor Chris is going to be there. I mean, he's like 911. He beats the ambulance. I don't know how he does it. He's amazing. And, you know, Somebody might say something like, well, you know, I can't believe I got a flat. My car. And because Chris deals, he's just dealing constantly verses of hope to people. He'll just come right back at you and say, well, you know, thank God that you have a car that could have gotten a flat like that. Well, I don't know. I can't seem to lock the door on my house. I don't know what the world's coming to. What's going on here? Anyhow. And he will come right back at you and say, you know what? Thank God that you had a problem trying to lock the door to your house because there's homeless people today. Are you hearing that? The word of God in you affects how you perceive things. If you are very anemic on Bible, if your Bible exposure is Sundays and Wednesdays, then you're anemic. If we draw blood from you, it's like water spiritually. And listen, if that's true in your life, you know it's true in your life when everything upsets your cart. And there's nothing good. Somebody says, look at that. That's probably going to break any minute. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, what a nice day. It's a little too warm for, and it's like, oh, for crying out loud. You wonder how they're going to do in heaven. Those angels. I don't know. Isn't that weird? Anyway, the Bible says in Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Sing. He says, I will sing to the Lord because he's been really bountiful with me. All of us can say that. The second thing is this, and we'll go as far as we can. We'll have to wrap it up soon. But in verses 17 and 18 is this, is that the parable of the rich fool teaches us this, that God was not in his plans. Of course not. How could God be in his planning when God's not in his thoughts? This is convicting in a moment here. We look at our own lives. How many of our plans go astray? Well, I don't mean you to respond that loud. I'm just listen. Some guy goes, my life, it's never working out for me ever. Well, here's the deal. The reason why the plans don't work is because God's not in the plans. And that's because God's not in the thoughts. Why? How is that? In verse 17 and 18, we learn this, that this man's problem is that he was self-wise. He was self-wise in his own opinion. This is very dangerous. We have to be very careful because I would think anyway that we're taught and we're raised that we can do this. My parents were World War II generation parents. You say, well, who cares? I understand that, but here's the deal. They came out of a culture that is both good and bad. By the way, every culture is good and bad, right? But they came out of the culture that if you approach your life without God, but having come out of that culture of survival, there's a tendency to be self-wise in your own opinion because they're, you know, what were the posters of World War II? Like or what we were known for is the can-do spirit. Remember that? The can-do. The world knew us as can-do. Americans were mocked in a good way that, for example, in World War II, if something broke in Europe in the war or whatever, they would call for an American because they would fix it. They would take the coffee maker and break it up and wind up fixing the machine gun with it. Americans were famous for that. In fact, there's a show that made fun of, sort of, that whole thing. You guys remember the show MacGyver? Anybody? The MacGyver thing was a spoof off of, well, if that's messed up, go find an American. We don't know how they do it, but they'll fix it. When the British invaded us, In the revolutionary period, they did not know what to do with this. Because there was the British regulars, the trained professional military soldiers of Britain, the greatest army, the greatest military force on earth, ladies and gentlemen. And King George says, we're going to go teach those Americans a little bit of respect because they think that they can handle this thing. They want independence. They want to think for themselves. Who does that? And so when the British regulars came to slap us back into shape and war broke out, Lexington and Concord, one American Minuteman or one American farm boy, remember, we had an army, would pick off, for every one American that got shot, we'd pick off anywhere from 10 to 12 British professional soldiers. How did that happen? Because the British soldiers, for example, when they were hungry, they sat down and they had cooks and hunters that would go with them wherever they went in the world, and the hunters would hunt the food, the cooks would prepare the food, and the food would be brought to the soldiers. Do you know what every American had to do in those days? I know it's hard for the young people. Literally, there were no Costcos in those days. Not a one. There were no stores like that. They had to shoot their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the American backwood countryman was the most skilled rifleman probably in the world at the time. And the British shows up with all awesome looking red jackets, very cool looking uniforms. Our guys had holes in their pants. They didn't have uniforms, but those guys knew how to shoot. And from that whole spirit came this thing, I'll take care of it. Without God, that's not a good thing. With God, it's amazing. Without God, what was our strength? With God, when God's removed, we start to lean on our own resource, right? Our own power. Sound familiar? But God, if you lean on your own opinion to live your life, God will let you. How could the creator of the universe, how could God who made a blood cell? I hope you're not here tonight, but if you have a fever, you know, it's a miracle that you have a fever. Did you know that? I don't feel like a miracle. If you have a fever, it's brilliant. It's genius. You know what your body's doing? Something invaded your body and it doesn't like it. Your body recognized, wait a minute. Something's in me. Something feels funny. Something's in me, not supposed to be in me. The brain, central processing unit, checking the chemistry levels, everything going on. Okay, imagine that. By the nanoseconds of time in your life, billions of times a day, how are we doing? Okay, pH, all right, oxygenation, right on. It's like, okay, great. Protein level, okay, magnesium, yeah. Think of it, it's amazing. Have you ever been hungry for something? Do you know why? Have you ever been like, it's like out of nowhere? I think I want a steak. Do you know why? Because your brain is checking your chemistry levels constantly and says, you know what? We need some iron. Yeah, I'd like to call in some iron, please. Delivery, iron. Half hour, yeah, that's good. You say to yourself, I want a steak, and I need to pull over. I want one. Your body. You thought you decided. I saw the commercial. I'm going to order steak. Isn't it amazing? So your body says something's in me, and it's wrong. Your body generates the fever. It goes to war. Your body causes your brain declares and sends out the right chemistry to enlarge your blood cells so that they were rubbing together at the normal rate, which when they make contact happens to produce with a burn rate, your metabolism, 98.6. Brain says, we're good. Something foreign comes into your body, and the brain says, all right, we got something in here, not good. Let's create an environment that makes the enemy unable to live here. Your brain is so committed. Look, in this fallen world, imagine how we were with Adam and Eve. Imagine Adam and Eve in perfection. Of course, they didn't have to battle sickness, but think about how the body worked then. When they ate an apple, what happened? Not an apple. We know what happened with an apple. Actually, we don't know it was an apple. Didn't say it was an apple. It's probably an apple. I don't like apples. So it was an apple. The amazing thing that happens, your body creates an environment that's not hospitable for the foreigner. And it will raise the temperature until it has victory. But because we live in a fallen world, your body will raise the temperature and be so devoted to preserving the integrity of your system that you could actually die of a fever. That's because we live in a fallen world. But how your body works, God's goodness, God's grace. Listen, you start thinking about, well, I'm rich because I planted all these crops and they've produced bountifully for me, and I get it. We're going to get to this next week. This guy, you will not read as many word usages of exaltation when he says, I, in such a short period of time. I think in total, there's like 11 or 12 in this little parable of him acknowledging himself. My barns, my soul, my crops, me. I've talked to me, and we've decided I'm going to build bigger barns for me. We met, me, myself, and I, and decided I'm going to build bigger barns for me. For us. It's absolutely remarkable. You don't hear you don't hear that as profound as you do in Isaiah 14. We mentioned it a little bit on one of the Sunday services where Satan says, I will become like God. I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Rich Fool. It's a very close look at this section of Scripture known as Luke chapter 12, The Parable of the Rich Fool, part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, July's Book of the Month is now available for you. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. Psalm 23 is one of the most familiar passages in the book of Psalms and in the Bible for that matter. And W. Philip Keller brings these words of truth and comfort to light through his own experience as a keeper of sheep. Keller also reminds us of our hope and meaning through the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you're laying down in green pastures or walking through the valley of the shadows, well, we're assured that the Lord will lovingly guide, carry, and protect us. Best of all, we can depend on His goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Again, July's Book of the Month, it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. It's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.